Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
The news is mixed about how North Carolina children are doing, according to the 2017 Kids Count Data Report. Earlier this summer, we've talked with Layla Bell of NC Child about the progress our state has been making taking care of its children and what areas still need improvement. Well, thank you very much for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Good morning, Chris.
Well, let's talk about child well-being. Obviously, I want to ask you about some specifics, but what were your thoughts about how North Carolina kids are doing overall?
Well, overall, North Carolina ranks 33rd in the country for child well-being, so that puts us in the bottom half of states. It's a pretty mixed bag in terms of what the data shows for kids and families in North Carolina. We've made significant progress in some key areas of child well-being. We rank highest for education, for example. We've done a tremendous job of improving our rates of uninsured kids. But the data is really showing that much of our progress is really being limited by the fact that we have a really poor standing in terms of the economic well-being of our families in the state.
Let's talk about the good news first. You mentioned education. Tell us about our improvement and how we're doing in educating our kids.
So North Carolina ranks 22nd overall in education, which puts us in the top half of states, and that's our highest showing out of the four different categories that this data book examines. What we see is that we've improved in our percent of fourth graders who are reading on grade level and also in our percent of high schoolers who are graduating on time. We know that those indicators are closely linked, and yet we also see that there's a tremendous opportunity to do more in this area. So although we've decreased the percent of our fourth graders who are not reading on grade level, we've actually increased our percent of young children who are not enrolled in school. So that's talking about our 3- and 4-year-olds who are not enrolled in some kind of an early learning program. And what we know from the research and evidence is those early learning experiences are transformational in terms of being able to prepare a child for academic success. Not only does it help young children enter school ready to learn, it reduces achievement gaps during their academic career and makes them far more likely to graduate from high school. So that's a key opportunity for the state to make some policy decisions and investments that can improve our ranking in that category overall.
Let's move to health, where we are in the bottom half. Tell us how we fared in the health category.
Well, we saw a modest improvement in 3 out of the 4 health indicators. One cause for concern is our standing around low birth weight births, which has been relatively flat over time. It's about 1 in every 10 babies born in North Carolina. We know that low birth weight births are associated with a number of chronic health conditions and long-term health challenges for children. And there's an opportunity for us to improve that by making sure that women and men are healthier before conception occurs so that they are having healthier pregnancies and healthier births. The good news in the health ranking is really around the percent of children who are uninsured. So we have cut our insurance rates among children by 50% since 2010. You'll also recognize that year is significant because that's the year that the Affordable Care Act was implemented. And so what we know is that that improvement in children's health insurance coverage rates is linked to a couple of things. The first is just improvements that we've seen in children getting access to health insurance, not only through the marketplace, but through our public health insurance programs like Health Choice and Medicaid. So those programs are providing coverage to a significant portion of our children and really helping ensure that they have access to health care.
And it's worth noting, as we talk about that, obviously Congress is considering dramatically overhauling and repealing the Affordable Care Act.
Yes, that's correct. And we're concerned because, as we just mentioned, we know that those two programs, particularly Medicaid, is one of the ways that many children in North Carolina are able to have health insurance coverage. Those changes that could potentially occur in that program, caps and cuts, could potentially limit those children's access to health insurance and may actually reverse the positive trend that we're seeing on this indicator. So those policy decisions that are happening at the federal level can have really significant implications, not only for child health, but for children's access to health insurance right here in North Carolina.
We rank 36th in what the report calls family and community domain. What is that?
So that is a measure of how healthy and safe children's homes and communities are. There's a little bit of good news in that category. Our teen birth rate has continued to decline. We have 24 teen births for every 1,000 young girls. That's a dramatic improvement from 2010. Puts us roughly on par with the national average, and this is a continuing trend. And we're really pleased to see that the community level and state level investments in teen pregnancy prevention are paying off. But the category also contains a really concerning indicator, and that's our percent of children who are living in high poverty areas. It's about 14% of our kids in North Carolina, and it's actually gotten worse over time. And so what that tells us is poverty is becoming increasingly concentrated for children in North Carolina, and that creates a number of challenges for children. It means that those are children that are growing up in communities that may not have access to things like grocery stores that provide healthy, nutritious foods that support their growth and development, or well-resourced schools. And so putting children or allowing children to live in those kinds of circumstances and not mitigating the experiences of poverty can really have some long-term negative consequences in terms of their ability to succeed.
The final category is economic well-being. I guess this is the one overall that might be the most disappointing.
Right. And that's our poorest showing. We rank 37th in the nation in economic well-being. So when we look at the measures, we see modest improvement in all four of those indicators, but it's important to put that in a broader context. So 23% of our kids currently live in poverty. That's about 1 in 4 kids in the state. And we actually fare worse than the rest of the country in this indicator. So we are higher than the national average for child poverty. And depending on how you rank it, we tie for about 13th in the country. What we know about poverty is not only does it create challenges and damages in terms of children's growing bodies and brains, but we also know that the experience of poverty affects their health, it affects their readiness to learn, it affects their transition to adulthood as they become workers and the future productive leaders of our state. So we're really concerned about the child poverty rate. We're also concerned because this is an area where we are not seeing the type of investments that need to happen in order to help children mitigate the experiences of growing up in poverty.
I know you always do this, remind folks that helping people who are so interested in helping kids have to realize they have to help their families. You can't just isolate kids and think you can target all these programs to set children.
That's exactly right. And so what the indicators in the data book show is that families are really struggling to provide and make ends meet for their kids. We have about a third of our children in the state live in homes with a high housing cost burden. What that means is that the housing expenses eat up more than 30% of your household budget. So you can think of how little that leaves to address the other needs that children may have, like nutrition or even things like eyeglasses, being able to make ends meet in other areas. We also see 30% of our kids living in homes where their parents lack access to secure year-round employment, right? And we know that employment is really the first step in families being able to earn a wage and be able to address some of those financial needs that they may have. So in order to think about how we improve child well-being, we have to think about what's happening in the families where those kids are living. Do they have the financial resources and the opportunities to earn wages that enable them to kind of make ends meet? And what the data is showing is that that's a real challenge for families in North Carolina.
Finally, it strikes me, listening to your discussion of the sort of what the policies, how they can make a difference. These rankings aren't things that sort of just happen on their own, that there are policymakers can make intentional efforts to address them, and they have in some places, and we've seen improvement. So this isn't something we have to be satisfied or dissatisfied with. We can do something about it.
That's exactly right. So that health insurance indicator, that measure of the percent of children who are uninsured, is a really great example of what happens when policymakers use data and strategic investments to improve child well-being. We have reduced the percent of children in North Carolina who are uninsured dramatically. 96% of our children in the state have coverage, and that's a direct result of policy decisions that have been made not only at the federal and the state level. There are opportunities to make those same kinds of data-driven, evidence-based policy decisions in other areas that the data book really highlights. The question is, do we have the political will to make those investments? And are those the decisions that we as a state would like to invest in?
Well, let's hope the answer to that is yes. I guess the jury is still out. Thank you all very much, NC Child, and thank you for coming over. We appreciate your time.
Good to see you, Chris.
Up next, a new book looks at the 1991 fire at a chicken processing plant that took the lives of 25 workers. Stay tuned.